recycling, education, and advocacy since 1980. Chico Velo encourages you to ride your bicycle and park it safely at their bike valet when available at the Thursday night market and Saturday farmers market. For more information, visit chicovelo.org and find them on Facebook. All right, boys, we got a lot to catch up on. It's been a minute. It feels good to be back. So with no further ado, let's get it.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your co-host, Jarrell Gilbert, alongside me, as always, partner in crime, co-creator of the show, Derek Isomaki.
Yo, what's good, party people?
Rudy is out. We're hoping to get him back next week. Shouts to our dog, Rude Dog. So he'll have all his gambling advice for you just in time for playoff football. But we do have our producer extraordinaire, the Jew for Jesus, Statman Brett.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Happy New Year.
New year, baby.
Happy New Year.
New year, same us.
Let's go.
Doesn't feel like much has changed.
Yeah. Not much changes year to year, but
it's rather arbitrary. Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. For you mere peasants who still believe in time. Idiots.
Time is man-made, okay? It's all irrelevant.
It's all...
time is relative.
Yeah.
But it's also
irrelevant.
It's all relevant. What are we doing right now? I don't know.
Is this a bit?
This is awful. This is terrible.
Just wasting the relevancy of time.
There we go.
All right. Hey, you starting off the new year with a decent joke.
Only going to go downhill from here.
Yeah, no
Only
doubt.
Only going to go downhill from here.
You usually set a pretty
high bar in the beginning and then just
low standard.
Plane crash afterwards.
I mean, don't give yourself high bar. You set a bar.
You set a bar. Yeah. And then you don't proceed to go.
High. Like high, again, relative.
Yeah. Relative to you.
Yeah, relative to me. I feel like that was a decent joke.
Yeah. Relative to the Brad in 15 minutes, yes. Yeah. High bar. Mm. Let's talk about low bars.
Gosh. Do we have to?
I think we need to start there. Right. We celebrate when we win. We got to
take the licks, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
down in the sorrows, tears, all the above.
Yeah, no hail to the victors. But as Derek put it, so Michigan lost to TCU. We're all Michigan fans in here. And as Derek so eloquently put it, you can't beat God.
Yeah, we were fighting God that game.
Yeah.
Texas Christian versus Michigan. Wolverines had a mighty foe.
Yeah, and the mightiest, some might say.
Yeah. No one's ever beaten him, I don't think. Not that I know of.
I think he's undefeated right now.
They thought they had him, and then he came back in the third quarter and, got the victory.
TCU? Really? We lost to TCU?
They pulled out, though. Like, you have to give them their credit.
They didn't, though. We just played like hogwash, and we got hosed on many occasions.
Yeah, that's true. The calls
many
are terrible.
Yes.
But the game was there to be had, and you lost to a team whose mascot is the only animal in the animal kingdom that squirts eye from its blood.
Blood from its eye.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Horned frogs.
We've been off for 2 weeks, okay? It's been...
And we suffered a terrible defeat.
Just
we should be
awful.
In an Aggie right now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But no, we lost to God. And humbled mightily. And it hurt a lot because I was counting my eggs. They hatched already.
You thought we were in?
I thought we were in. I really did.
I did too.
I was like, yo, we're there, baby.
Yep. And to my... to my surprise, on the flight, the game was on. Like, yeah, no problem. No Shout problem. Out to there American
you go.
Airlines.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
The game was on. I got to witness that horrendous loss in real time. It would have been much better to just wake up after the flight and check and find out that we had
and
lost.
Not have to witness that, yeah, utter demise.
And there's nowhere to go.
No, you're just stuck there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was working and it was on, so I was just, yeah, terrible life, terrible feelings.
Yeah.
It was just a terrible way to end the year.
And Michigan, I felt, had the most pressure coming into this playoff because being where they were in relevancy just 4 years ago to making the playoff last year, not having the greatest showing once they got in, but getting over the hurdle, beating Ohio State last year at home, getting into the playoff, it's like, okay, cool, we're there, we're there. And then this year,
we beat Ohio State, beat them down in the shoe.
Beat them down. And so morale was at an all-time high. We started the show screaming after that victory. And this is how it ends the season. This is how it's just, it's gross. It's a terrible feeling. I hate feeling this way. This is the one team that unites the four of us in here is Michigan. It's the only thing we all get to root for together. And now we just have to sit in the holiday season feeling depressed.
Like, I was all ready for bowl season, you know? Bowl season's a fun time. It really is. You start off, you get some good matchups, teams you don't usually see face each other.
Middle of the day games during the work week.
Best thing ever.
Yes.
It really is. When you have a legitimate game on in during the day,
yes,
you can just turn it on, it's nice background noise, or you can actually get invested in some way.
Yeah.
But this was just the downer for me. It, like, really took it out of me because there's been some great bowl games after that. Speaking of this USC Tulane game that went down to the wire.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to watch because I didn't really care.
Yeah.
I was so over bowls. I was like, I don't want to witness. It was pathetic.
So,
and this is looking – it's tough because, like you said, this relevancy of Michigan had really got – we're back. We were until the 31st when we just got pushed back down another, like, 10 years, it felt like.
That's what it felt like, yes.
To TCU, to not a traditional college powerhouse, it's one thing if you go down to Alabama, Clemson, LSU, an SEC team, but it's TC freaking U. When was the last time they were relevant? When LaDainian Tomlinson was there?
Like, they did have one with their high power. They had their high powered offense like back in, I want to say, the early 13s. 2013.
Name a player on that team.
I couldn't tell you. No.
That's my point.
There you go. Touche. I will. Why was I trying? I was trying to give him some relevancy.
No.
We
should not have lost to TCU.
We should not.
There's no excuse for what took place on New Year's Eve. It's a terrible way to end what was a pretty great year for me as a sports fan overall. Terrible way to end the year. I mean, everything. I was riding a pretty good wave there for a minute.
Well, for me, I guess it's par for the course. So
you will have been used to just devastation.
So I was, but again, I was used to the devastation, but I had my hopes set. They were made. They were already there. There weren't hopes anymore. They were living my dreams.
I was already wondering how is Michigan going to match up against Georgia.
I was thinking the same thing too. Like, are we going to get beat down again by Georgia that bad?
Yeah.
I really hope that wasn't the
case. But at least we'll get to the championship. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I hated the fact that I had that such a certainty and got some that was like one of the I've never been more certain of something and been more wrong.
Wow. That is a statement.
Like, I honestly was like, dude, we're there, and then we just got,
you're saying there's no X in your life that you're more certain of than you were of this Michigan.
That's my intuition right now. Forever alone.
And this is why gambling's hard. This is why I'm not going to quit my day job anytime soon and do it because no. I'm with you, D. I thought this was a wrap. I thought I was so happy about this season. I was just like, listen, we're going to make the championship no matter what happens. And yeah, it's just devastating. The only good thing that came from New Year's Eve is the fact that Ohio State's kicker blacked out.
Yes.
And lost them that game after Ohio State stormed back. CJ Stroud is a stud, dude. That guy is a baller. And the one good news is Ohio State doesn't get to put it in Big Blue's face that even though we beat them in the shoe, they ended up advancing further in the playoff. They
I thought that was going to happen. When we lost, I was talking to Rudy, who was placing bets. He was asking me. I was like, nah, man, Ohio State's going. I just feel it in the air.
Yep.
They're going to do it. And then and it started happening. And I was like, this is the worst feeling of my life. This is going to be the worst day of my life. No, I mean, not really. But, you know, in this day right now, it could not have gone that punches I was getting when I was down. With Ohio State doing this miraculous comeback against this, what we were feeling was an unbeatable Georgia team.
Yes.
And then, again, like you said, thank you for that kicker.
Thank God.
Thank you for that kicker for just absolutely pooshing that thing.
Yeah.
And
welcome to the transfer portal.
you are no longer allowed in Ohio, I feel.
Yeah, there's not a single party he could get into, at least for the next year.
He's welcome to Michigan, though. Come to Michigan, any party there, not the actual school, because we actually need guys in
picks. Yeah,
but you can
full ride.
Yeah, full ride, for sure. But you're not on the field. You're just, you know, welcome to Michigan University. Have a proper degree.
100%. Yeah, we would absolutely take him.
We should just give him an honorary degree, I think. I think you should get an honorary degree from Michigan.
Agreed. Yes. Yeah. Masters.
Masters.
Yeah.
Give him a doctorate, hell. You know?
Why not?
Doctorate in losing.
Why not? Because that's what we do here in Ann Arbor. All right.
We've dug our grave.
Yeah,
we've laid in it.
Yeah.
Hey, your Packers won.
Yeah, that was actually kind of
that's fun.
Shock. Yeah,
for
I mean,
you,
it was nice. It was a great surprise, and to find out that I didn't realize if we'd won today, and Washington lost. Now we control our destiny.
Yep.
All you got to do is beat the Lions.
Ron Rivera didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought
was incredible.
And he started Carson Wentz.
Which sounds like I could probably coach the Washington Commanders.
Which hurts because Ron Rivera has the best nickname ever.
Riverboat Ron is amazing.
And as a Carolina Panther fan, he has been, you know, he was great. I loved him. He was Papa Ron. But you didn't know that? That's a tough look, Ron.
Yeah. And I don't like the excuse he made of I was putting the thought process of the Vikings winning, and that's all I was focused on is the next game. Mm. And it's like,
you gotta have a little more wherewithal than that, coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he doubled down and said that he was irritated with the question because his mindset was on winning, and he wasn't going to entertain possibly losing. Whatever, okay.
Your mindset's on winning, but you start Carson Wentz. That's not.
Yeah,
those don't correlate.
They do not.
No.
Yeah, I don't see how Carson Wentz starting correlates to you winning games.
Yeah.
It actually
never really has, except for that one MVP season.
That's like the fluke used to flukes right there, right? That one season for that man.
What is more fluky, that Carson Wentz run or that Matt Castle run?
Honestly, it's got to be Carson Wentz because we always knew what Matt Castle was. He was just a career backup. But Carson Wentz came in there. He was a highly touted draft pick, second overall, if I'm not mistaken. He had that amazing time. He had a couple of throws. You're like, my goodness, this guy can do it.
Yeah.
And then he has just fallen off a cliff where it's just like, this guy is a head case.
I would be curious to know, like, who is on the Mount Rushmore in the Carson Wentz class of they had a year.
They had a year.
Right? Where
Peyton Hillis is on that one, too. I think Peyton Hillis said.
Sure, I'm talking QB specific, okay, though. Okay. QB specific, because if we open it up, I mean, plenty of dudes did. I mean, Michael Thomas was thought by some to be the best wide receiver in the league, and then injuries and losing Drew Brees haven't helped his career since, and a suspension. But I digress. When it comes to QBs, because I feel like that's happened more than a few times when guys have had a year, and you're like, this guy.
Hell, Tebow kind of had a year. Remember that second half of the season where he took the Broncos? Like, granted, it wasn't him, but it was his team, and he was leading that team, and then he had that amazing throw against the Steelers in the playoffs in Mile High that sent them.
I thought that was more of the real God-fearing folks talking about how great Tebow was, because if you really looked at it, there was a game he went 2 for 8 in that run, and they're just like, he's just a winner, man. And it's like, yeah, well, he also has a really good defense and Demaryius Thomas and really good players around him.
You should know by now not to question God. We just lost to him this past week.
That's right. Okay, never question God. That's right.
On this
Tebow. Tim Tebow had a year.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Right.
We got to put that out on the poll. Remind me to put that out on the poll. Who had a year? Who are the quarterbacks on the Mount Rushmore of having a year? Because I think there's a real good debate to be had there. I just can't do it off the top of my head, but I'm sure as we go through the show, if they come to you guys, just blurt them out no matter where we are, no matter if Aaron's on the show, I don't care. If it comes to you, let me know.
Question, though, for the Matt Castle one. Are you talking about the year with New England or the year with Kansas City?
I'm talking about the year that got him that Kansas City contract, so the one with New England.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say not a year, but somebody had a game in Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn had himself a game that got him paid.
He had a moment.
He had a moment. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, one of the best backup quarterbacks of all time is Matt Flynn, in my opinion. I mean, he came in and he produced when he did come in.
That's what she said. First of all. And what are you talking about?
Matt Flynn is the greatest backup.
Look up Matt Flynn's stats right now, please, stat man, Brad.
Will do.
I want build your case for us, please. Please, sir. I would really like this. I want to hear your Matt Flynn take. Let's move on.
You were so passionate about that.
Yeah. Like, one of the greatest backup quarterbacks of all time.
I want you to have a Matt Flynn jersey in your closet right now.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I do not, okay. But I will get one.
Let me see. It doesn't look very long. That's not a very good backup. Backups are usually known for having a long career of backing up.
Let's just start with something simple. Let's do a counting record, which doesn't even have much to do with the quarterback himself. So, but what about his starting career? What was he as a starter?
He was a starter 3-4. Just a starter. But again,
3-4. So losing record. Okay. Yes, we're off to a good start. Touchdown interception ratio. You want to give us another counting stat that could help us?
Yeah, it's a 17-11.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's his entire career?
Yeah, entire career.
All right.
And do you want anything else? Yardage?
Just for you to redact that ridiculous statement you made?
Yeah, mainly that. I don't know how far down the line of stats or if we need to get to some advanced metrics for you to just say, hey, guys, bad take.
I'll admit it, bad take.
All right, let's move on.
Never admit it.
Because
that
was really going to...
Never admit it, Brad.
That was going to sidetrack the show for a good 15 more minutes.
But after what I just saw... I just remember on Green Bay and actually coming in and producing when he did.
Because he had a moment.
He had a moment.
He did. It wasn't just one, but like he was in at the end of games or even when Rodgers went out and he kept the game going for them to have a chance to win. It wasn't shown as him getting the victory, but got him the chance to actually get the win in Green Bay. But I digress.
I appreciate the passion, but my gosh, it is stupidly placed.
Yes. Also, let me remind you. 3-4 as a career starter. He started
17-11.
Seven games. So his greatest backup QB of all time started a total of 7 games. I'm pretty sure Teddy Bridgewater dwarfs those numbers, but that's okay. We digress again. He has admitted wrongdoing, which you should never do on the show. I thought you would know better by now, Brad. You double down. That's what we do. But again,
I had a list of backup QBs I was willing to throw in your face, but apparently. You know, I don't have to anymore.
To hear him now.
Matt Moore, Chad Henne, Teddy Bridgewater, that guy from Missouri that has always...
I mean, you could also consider Tom Brady a backup quarterback if you really want to. Think about it like that.
No.
Okay. See, stop reaching, Brad.
That's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard.
Aaron Rodgers was a backup.
Yeah. If you backed up more games than you've started, you are a backup quarterback. I think it's pretty clear cut there, bud. Let's keep it moving. The Vikings are fraudulent. It seems like the general consensus of the public is people are mad at them for some reason for being fraudulent, and I think that's hilarious.
It is tough place to be for Minnesota fans right now because you have such an amazing record. And your team has put on a great show for you this entire year, winning all these great close games. Yet no one has any faith in them whatsoever.
Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. It's Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins mixed with Minnesota. It's like Minnesota, the Vikings, unfortunately, just they are not meant to win.
Yeah, they're doomed. They are as close to the Atlanta Falcons as one could be without being the actual Atlanta Falcons. Multiple times they've had a chance to go to the Super Bowl or a chance to really do something, and it's a missed kick here.
I think so many of us are just hanging on to the Vikings of Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper, those days when that was a great Vikings team.
Oh, so much fun.
But they haven't been anything fun like that really since, you know?
Robert Smith, Chris Carter, those were good times.
That was a great team. Right there.
Yeah, Randall Cunningham before Dante Culpepper at the end when people thought Randall Cunningham was washed and all they had to do was give him Randy Moss on the other side of CeCe, and it just was unreal for like 2 years.
That's got to be the best wide receiver combo ever, right? Randy Moss and Chris Carter?
Yeah, Randy did play alongside Jerry Rice, though, but it was a more washed version of Jerry Rice than it was a washed version of Chris Carter, I want to say. I could be wrong about that.
I'm trying to think. Is this when he was in the Raiders?
Oakland. Yeah. Okay. But he also was never really Randy there.
No, he wasn't.
He seemed pretty uninterested.
Yeah.
Peak Randy was something unbelievable. That one stat line was like three catches, 159 yards, three touchdowns.
That Thanksgiving day goes unmatched.
Oh,
we hate you. We're sorry about it. I think just the sports gamblers always hate them, too. That's really what it is.
Probably. That's what it comes down to.
Lost so much money against them.
Right. We had a classic battle of quarterbacks. The long-awaited breakdown of Brock Purdy and Jarrett Stidham. Jarrett Stidham came to ball yesterday, man.
This is also a memorial for Derek Carr. We need to...
Yeah, it's done, right?
He's buried right now. Yeah, they're...
If we had the You're Dead to Me segment, I think Derek Carr would be on the top of everyone's list. And do you feel bad for him?
I do, because he shares my name, and he's a Derek. So he brings down Derek's with that... Didn't think about that. Bad look for the Derek's. We don't want
to. And spells it the same, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, which is even worse. If he spelled it differently, that would be a little bit easier to ostracize him and excommunicate him from the Derek's. But no, he's in there, locked tight, but we don't like you anymore. You lost it.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah.
Also sucks for Derek Carr, too. Like, I got to feel less slightly for him, because that's got to... Your team has just let you go. Like, don't even worry about coming to the game. Get your head right, quote-unquote. More like, we don't want to see your face again. And you get to see that happen. He couldn't be watching, right? He wasn't watching.
I feel like he had to be watching.
You think he was watching?
Yeah.
He probably started watching, and he's like, just for him to be bad, when he started being good, he's like, all right, I'm turning it off. Once he started realizing, like, ooh, this guy can throw...
Cause like, yeah, I don't know, man. That would be tough to watch, man. But some people are voyeurs, you know? Some people are cucks. That's out there. That's a thing.
People are into that. I'm pretty sure we could probably put Derek Carr as a cuck.
I'm just saying it's paramount to what I'm talking about, is it not?
It is. It's just
watching someone play well in your position on your team, knowing you're being replaced, is kind of like watching someone sleep with your wife. All I'm saying.
Now, did he enjoy it? That's the real question.
Did he enjoy it? That is the real question.
I feel like at that point, it's not that situation.
Do you think he prayed for Jarrett Stidham before his start? Derek Carr went and made a prayer and got God on Jarrett Stidham's side?
I feel like he's the type of guy that would.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like he would.
So I think he is someone who enjoys watching somebody.
I feel like that's pretty impressive that your cynical mind would believe that another human being is capable of praying for someone in that position.
Well, I just look at Derek Carr and the amount of tears he shed and just think the guy has got so much sensey in him. He's going to do something like that.
Yeah.
He probably went in, took a little kneel in the pews and made a little prayer for the man.
Say a little prayer for you.
Our Father who art in heaven.
All right, well, so we feel bad for Derek Carr, seems to be the consensus. How much money has he made in his career? Would you mind looking that up for me?
Once you say that number, I'm no longer going to feel bad for him.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm curious.
Yeah. But right now, still slightly bad.
Any concern? I would love to ask Rudy this question, but any concern from you as a non-Niners fan, if you were just a gambling public, about the way Jarrett Stidham kind of tore apart that Niners defense yesterday?
It was a little questioning, because everyone went into this game thinking that Oakland had zero chance. They're starting it in a guy who's never started a game before. Vegas, I'm sorry.
I do it all the time.
You can't replace them, okay? They're not Vegas. I know it is, but they're not. Like, everyone knows. Either way. Everyone going into thinking that this game was over, this was San Francisco's all the way because of that defense, and he does that against them, impressive beyond belief. You got to give Jarrett Stidham his credit, because the man played with balls. The guy went out there, lit up this defense that no one has been able to do it before. And it wasn't just that. Their running game looked good, too.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs had himself a time. I think there probably was a sense of the Niners thinking that this was a game they could kind of gloss over. Kind of just a step-over game.
I agree, and there's no film on Jarrett Stidham. So I think those two things, you've already wrapped up the division. You had the emotional win in Seattle just a couple weeks ago. You know you're in the running, but and you want the one seed or the two seed. You want that bye.
Yeah.
But it's hard to fake desperation.
And the thing is that you can always hang your hat on, they did look bad. They still won, though.
Yeah.
You know, they still won. They still did what they had to do to actually get the dub. And that's ultimately all that mattered. Mm-hmm. Did they look suspect? And I think it's hard to stay mentally locked in every single week, especially when you know you've already got a foothold in the playoffs. Your body doesn't want to take all the beatings. It doesn't have to. So you're like, okay, I can just look at this Las Vegas squad, and they're pathetic.
Also,
with Derek Carr leading them, unfortunately.
Career backups that were better than Matt Flynn, Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie was a backup.
Yes.
Didn't realize that.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
I'll go to a recent one, Nick Foles.
I mean, I feel like he started more games, though, than he's actually backed
up. Yeah, because he was backing up the guy who fell down.
Yeah.
So?
That's what a backup does.
Yeah.
You start the campaign, the backup then, comes in.
But since then, he's been a starter more than he's backed up.
I don't think that's true.
No? He's been backing up a lot lately.
And this is kind of your job, Statman Brad, is to look up these stats and verify them.
It just got brought up to me, and I'm saying I don't think that's true. By the way, Derek Carr, $252 million.
Okay. Yeah, don't feel bad anymore.
Core Billy?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. All right, Derek Carr, you're doing okay. You might be okay in the Derricks again. We might let you back in.
Josh McCown.
Done. Isn't he a Harvard guy? No, that's
that was Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick, yeah.
Just to throw this out there real quick, and the Niners, shout out to the Niners. They're looking great, man. This has been really fun.
Also, Fitzpatrick better back up.
Yeah. But I think he started more games than he backed up.
I think he started because Jameis Winston went down, and he was...
But he also went to Miami and Tampa and started down there.
All right.
He played for every team in the AFC East.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And he played for Tennessee as well.
He was a backup at some point everywhere he went.
So I think we can say he's a backup.
Yeah.
I
would take Fitzpatrick over Matt Flynn's 3-4 record. let's.
I'll take Fitzpatrick's chest hair over Matt Flynn.
Gambling's tough. Sports gambling's really tough. This weekend, 7 dogs covered, 7 of the 14 games. So 15% of the games, the underdog covered. So just wanted to throw that out there for my gambling friends out there. Gambling's really tough. And those of you that are good at it, shouts to you, because I am not. Let's move on and not talk about my financial woes. Let's talk about something you're very passionate about, and that's the world of soccer.
And now, it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Football. The World Cup hangover, it's over now. The thing is back. And it is back with full force right now. Premier League happened! Boxing Day was a full force as it unleashed the pent-up energy of English football that has yet to be expelled. A lot of backup in there. So they came out furious. And right now they got some games to make up. So we're getting games pretty much every single day for the next few weeks. So enjoy it while you got it, boys.
Can I jump in real quick? I'm so sorry. You know what grinds my gears? That we don't celebrate Boxing Day here. It's awesome. Everything shuts down. You get a Christmas part 2. And then you get, in Barbados, you get an observance of said Boxing Day. So you get a full day of football and you don't have to go to work. It's awesome.
Isn't Boxing Day just packing up your Christmas stuff?
Not at all.
No. Oh.
Stepman Brad.
It's a shopping type of holiday.
Oh.
It was like beforehand, right?
It was essentially for the serving class of the elite after Christmas. They then got to take a break, and they would also get gifts from, the elite, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I did not realize that. I thought it was just a day of putting all your stuff away.
No.
All right.
Like boxing. You meant like moving.
Boxing it up.
Boxing it up. Boxes up right
Jesus.
Now.
Jesus.
You box up your Christmas
decorations. You never thought to just give it a quick Google search? You just were like, hey, I'm just going to be ignorant on this topic.
No, I heard somebody say it and it sounded logical, so I just went with
Fair enough. I think that's how most of us operate. You know what? I take it back, Brad. My bad.
I feel like that was a logical
statement.
Yeah,
no, that's fine. That's fine. Right? I take it back. Derek, proceed. I'm sorry.
So, yes, as we said, we had Fast and Furious Boxing Day. Football is in full effect. It's beautiful. It is beautiful. And just primarily looking at the Premier League right now. My goodness, we have ourselves some great things happening right now. If you are a Liverpool fan, you had a tough one today. Tough one today. You lost to Brentford 3-1. Woo! In disgusting uniforms as Jerome and I were.
Oh, God.
What are these greens rocking right now?
Get them out of here.
Especially all green. It's too much green.
Too much green.
Maybe have black shorts or something. Something like that.
Too much green.
Too much green. Vile. Vile to look at. Literally looks like vile. It literally does.
No.
Somebody puked up vile right there.
I think the word you're looking for is bile.
Bile. That's what I meant to say. Bile. It's vile looking like bile. Yeah. So, Liverpool, you're dropping major points right now, and that's big because there are teams all over the place that are not dropping the points needed. Looking at you, Man United, you had yourself some big points gained. Arsenal as well. You are getting yourself clear of the top right now. Arsenal, top of the table with a 7-point lead over second place Man City. And I got to give a shout out to Man City because they drew against my boys Everton. Let's go, you toughest. A big point for us, tough is right now, as we went into the Etihad and took a 1-1 game. Ha! Suck it, Man City. You're not all that good. Yes, Haaland is still brilliant, and he is still scoring goals beyond belief. That man is going to break records. Let it be known, he will be the Premier League record holder for goals in the season. But not when you're facing Everton, boy. We're taking it to you. 1 point, baby. We'll take it. Keep ourselves stabbing off relegation right now. That's what we're trying to do. As the world continues to burn, the big teams that you want to be watching out. If you want to jump on a team that's not one of those major ones you know about, Newcastle United is your team right now. My goodness. They are putting on a show right now. A team that got a lot of money influx from the good old Saudis. But what they're doing right now is nothing short of miraculous. They are producing some brilliant football out there. Miguel Amarone, what are you doing? No one even knew about you until this year. What? Beautiful stuff to look at. Now, I digress on this Newcastle team right now because I want to take a little sidestep talking Saudis. You go into that Saudi league right now. Al Nassr. If you have been living under a rock, you know the name Cristiano Ronaldo. And if you haven't heard, the man signed a massive, massive deal to join the Saudi league at the Al Nassr team. Now, he is going to be receiving a reported 75 mil a year. What? With the possibility of making it 200 mil a year based on certain things that happen.
Boy.
Based on your sales, goals, blah, 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 all these other things, stipulations. But there is one fantastic stipulation that is in Cristiano's contract that just makes it as Cristiano as possible. This Newcastle team, where they're sitting, third place, puts them in the Champions League for next year. That's huge. Huge. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo is desperate for Champions League glory. Loves himself Champions League glory. So, if Newcastle United is able to keep themselves in that top four spots for next year, good old Cristiano Ronaldo will be loaned out to Newcastle United because they're owned by the same people. So Cristiano Ronaldo might find his way back into the Premier League next year.
That's crazy.
If Newcastle United makes their way into the Champions League. So that's as Cristiano as it gets. The man needs the glory. He wants the money. But my goodness, does he love the adulation. So Cristiano, have fun in Saudi Arabia. Interesting to see how it does. Wherever he goes, he brings a force with him. The CR7 crowd is one that is, they're unwavering. Even though they should, because he's not as good as Messi. That's been said. I'll say it again. He is not as good as Messi. Messi is living the life right now. He still has yet to rejoin PSG. He's still living in the limelight of being the world hero for Argentina. That being said, Mbappe is back at work. He's doing things as well. Now, if he can get this PSG squad, Mbappe and Messi, into that Champions League win, that solidifies it completely. Leo Messi would have the greatest career ever, possible ending right there with this PSG squad if he gets a Champions League title as well. Just a nice little cherry on top. So just a little more to rub it into Cristiano's face as he's desperate for any type of accolation. He's joining Saudi Arabia with some hopes of coming back to the Premier League with Newcastle United for just Champions League glory. Interesting. Great little storyline to watch out for. And especially for a team like Newcastle United that's used to prominence in the Premier League, has been in a dumpster for quite some time, but they are living large right now. So jump on that bandwagon, y'all. It'll be fun to watch. Premier League, though, it's alive and well. Enjoy it while we have it, boys, because it's delicious. We got a good one tomorrow. Tomorrow's a big day. A lot of games going on. 11:45, we got Arsenal, Newcastle, Everton, Brighton, Leicester, Fulham, and Man United, Bournemouth. That's a full day right there. Woo! Can't wait for tomorrow. That's foot and mouth, y'all.
Very nice. Yeah, that's good to have Premier League back for sure. It'd be great if Liverpool could figure it out a little bit, but it is what it is. All right. Let's chill it out for a minute. It's been a while. It's been a long day. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, people powered community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're tuned in to Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show. Jarrow, Derek, Stepman Brad, all in the building. Want to give a shout out to our friends over at Paradise Community Guilds, fostering community by nurturing creativity, practicing stewardship of nature, and promoting values of sustainability. Paradise Community Guilds invites all people of goodwill and community spirit to help us carry out that intent. To get involved, visit ParadiseGuilds.org. Also on Facebook at 762-1490. All right. Shout out to the Paradise Guilds. Shout out to Chico Velo. But I've had no idea what's happening in the world. Zero, none. Been paying attention to no news. It was cool to come back and realize that the world's still spinning. Everything over here stateside is still good, as far as I could tell.
I see, if the world stopped spinning, we'd know instantaneously. I'm pretty sure we'd all be dead.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there would just be so much force. Because, like, we're all used
to it. Like, if it just hit the brakes?
Yeah.
We'd all go flying at 24,000 miles per hour. That would be pretty intense. Yeah.
Pretty intense.
I think everyone would evaporate at that point.
I think so.
Don't know that that's accurate.
Well, if you're going 20-some-odd thousand miles an hour.
You're going to hit some type of wall.
Yeah, and then you're going to explode. Okay.
Well, also not just that, but it's like the max speed a human can take is like over
terminal velocity.
Is 450 miles an hour. Before so just falling straight down, terminal velocity is 450. Well, and you're going to evaporate at that point.
Well, that's just gravity working on you. I think this takes out of the case when the Earth stops spinning on space.
Yeah. That's well over 450 miles an hour.
Intriguing conversation. Let's move on. Let's get to the news.
Breaking news, breaking news. Derek Isamaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, we got a lot to get to, so I'm going to keep it short because this is a doozy of a story right now. Now, we head over to the land down under, Alabama. Where...
Sorry for messing that joke up.
Now, we take you over to the house of Luke and Hillary Gardner, who are having themselves a baby. Now, this baby, born on December 18th. Now, that might be an innocuous date for most of us. But for the Gardners, that's their birthday. Both of their birthdays. On the exact same day. So both parents and baby now share the exact same birthday.
That's wild.
December 18th.
Were they trying for that?
I don't believe so.
Huh.
It doesn't sound like they were trying to. It just kind of happened that way.
No one gets their own day.
No one does. No one does. Now, the great thing about this... I wanted to make the joke because it's in Alabama. I want to say they're twins. I was trying to do it, but I flumbered over that. Ah, man.
That was set up.
That could have been there. But yes, it is a very rarest of occasions. They are saying it's locally 1 in 130,000 is possible of having your same birthday as your parents. Now double it up when you got both your parents have the exact same birthday. Can you find somebody else? Actually, probably not. You can't choose that. When you fall in love with, who cares what your birthday is? But still, your baby having your same day, that's actually a lot nice for me. I would like that because that's nothing less I have to remember. Because I, for myself, have problems
remembering birthdays.
Dates. Yes. Yeah. I have a lot of people in my family, and they all have different dates, except for two of them, which I like because they have the same birthday. Shouts to twins, you know? Two for one right there. That's a nice 2-for-1 special I like.
That's a BOGO.
Right?
That's a good BOGO.
Either way. Same birthday, December 18th. That's a big day in that family. I got to feel like they got to go hard, you know? Like if you're all,
I think they did, and that's how it.
Yes, there we go.
How we got here?
That's where we're at. Either way, December 18th is going to be a big day in the Gardner family. I feel like you got to really make it, like, ham it up. You know, if it's all three of your birthday, you might as well,
yeah,
go for it. Make it all about you. Not really, because you
can't. And just a week before Christmas, that's kind of tough.
December birthdays are rough. I got to feel. If you're a December birthday, I feel for you.
A lot of folks will celebrate their half birthdays, which I get.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you actually are on like the 25th, like actually Christmas.
That's rough.
That's a tough one. Because Christ was born that day, and you can't beat God. We already determined that. That's the news.
All right. You wouldn't happen to have Aaron on the line, would you?
No.
Cool. Cool.
I was looking up at how fast a human has to go to disintegrate.
Oh, good. That was what I'm glad you were working diligently on that, because that was.
Do you have an answer for us?
Yeah.
No.
Good. That's great. Would you mind calling Aaron?
I can.
Do you need? I have a backup story if need be.
Yes, right, please.
Okay. Honestly, right. Go for it. One and all be fine.
Save backup, the show, Derek.
Backup story right now. Backup story. Okay. So, this is a story that I wanted to do because it's got the morbidity that I love, but I wasn't going to do that to you guys. I didn't want to start the year that way, but why would I try to change? Morbidity is where we're at. So,
well, luckily for us, we have Statman and Brad.
Yes, thank you for that. So once again, we venture down to the land down under in Alabama. Double Alabama times for you right now.
Talk about a BOGO,
right?
Two for one, yes. Bama stories.
Two for one Bama stories right now. That's what I do here on the news. Where it's a sad day because over at a airport, a baggage handler at the Alabama airport got himself sucked into the jet engine and spit out. Didn't survive it, unfortunately. That's terminal velocity right there. Okay. So, you're out on an airport, y'all, with a plane nearby. Careful not to get sucked. into a jet engine. Because you'll find out the hard way.
That's what she said.
Oh, Lord.
I hate that we have to make such a mockery of a man's death right now. But
no, you don't. You do not.
No, that's unfortunately what we do here. Or I do here.
He gone.
He gone.
Okay.
And this was an American Airlines plane, too, which makes it all the better right now.
Again, shout out to American Airlines. Call back from earlier in the show.
They are having themselves a show today.
Oh, man.
Quite the year for American Airlines. All right. That's the news, y'all.
Thank you, sir. Let's get some intro music. Whoa, whoa. I think Aaron's here already. Aaron, hello!
Because he likes to lick the couch for some reason.
That is a thing about dogs and couches. They do enjoy licking a couch.
I think it's the sweat annoying. That accretes from our butt. They like that, you know?
I don't know what it is. I just know that dogs really enjoy, my dog in particular, loves licking the couch.
Yeah, I learned. I've known that many times. There are definitely some spots on there that are like, that's all gooch right there. Good.
Is it possibly because we have that our smell on the couch and they like licking us, they like licking the couch, maybe?
Thanks for posing more questions than you're answering, Statman Brad.
I feel like that's the answer right there.
I feel like, again, kind of the role.
He doesn't lick me. He just licks the couch.
Oh.
Maybe the couch tastes better? I don't know.
Okay, again, with your hypothetical questions and open-ended questions that lead nowhere.
All right.
Let's keep it moving.
All right, Aaron.
Welcome back to the show, Aaron. It's been a while. It's been 2 weeks exactly, actually. But what has been a while is a good old-fashioned hockey update.
Puck yeah!
So we had the Winter Classic. And we haven't talked about hockey on the show in probably about a month. So give us the juice. Give us everything we need to know about this hockey season that we haven't been paying attention to.
Yeah, it was the Winter Classic, and I was like, guys, I'm going to do a deep dive. I'm going to figure out why their Winter Classic started. It's going to be this great story. As it turns out, it was literally just to fill time on the television, so not a great story. Sorry about that. However, the first Winter Classic ever happened in Buffalo, and since nothing ever good happens in Buffalo, they made it a thing, so we appreciate the city of Buffalo. They made it a thing. This year, it was at Fenway Park, so it was obviously Boston playing. They played the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Winter Classic is great, right? Because
yeah.
They just do all these antics, and so the Bruins show up in the vintage Red Sox jerseys. Both of the teams wear throwback jerseys. It's just a lot of fun to watch. Also, you hope for the Wild winter, right? Like, it's just more fun to hear -5 versus 50. Unfortunately, it was 50, so it was really nice weather for them in Fenway. And the Bruins ended up winning. The Bruins are also currently unbeaten at home, and they continue to be unbeaten at home. The rest of the hockey, we're almost halfway through. Colorado's not doing great. They're having kind of that sophomore slump after they won the Stanley Cup. They're 10 points back in the Central Division, but don't worry, the Sharks are currently third worst record in the league, guys. Impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, it's awesome. To the Winter Classic, I really wish other sports would adopt this idea more often. Like, we get that game every year in college basketball where it's on the...
On the
aircraft carrier.
So fun.
And I really think more sports should adopt the idea, especially around a holiday or, you know, something like that, where you...
It's literally just to fill time on the television, but it's great.
And it looks really cool. Like, when they did the Field of Dreams last couple of years in Major League Baseball, it's something unique. It's something different. And it does draw an audience because it does look so different and it does break the normal pattern of said sport. So I think it does reach across and grab more of your casual sports viewers. So I just wish we had more of that, because you could easily adopt this in the NBA or in the NFL. Like,
do you think
the
NBA would be willing to do like a blacktop night out? Like,
not a blacktop, but you could take the court to like a Rucker Park and put like, you know, hardwood floors and make it small and intimate, and that'd be really dope. You know, there's a million different ways you could do it. There's a lot of it would be really cool if more teams would do, more sports leagues would do this, but I digress. The Sharks suck. I just was trying to get away from your point there, Aaron.
Yeah. Another great hockey story. I'm sure everyone heard this or at least saw this picture, right? So the Montreal Canadiens do this thing where they host a mom's trip, which is so precious. They bring their moms on the road with them. The Canadiens decided to bring their moms to play the Capitals in Washington, D.C. They proceeded to get their butts handed to them. Ovechkin scores a hat trick. The Canadiens' moms run into him like backstage in the locker room and take a picture with him. He obliges. It's great. It's just, you gotta love hockey.
Puck yeah.
Delicious.
So Aaron, can you stick around for a few minutes? We have a bunch of questions that I've neglected to get to, and we would love your perspective. Does that work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The first one comes in titled, "Should I Give Up on My Dreams?" Hello, friends. I agree with the listener from the other week. Please bring back your dead to me. And we'll talk about that. We're not going to have a production meeting right now. He goes on to say, or she goes on to say, that they kind of know us, that they're a frequent guest of Bella's back in the day.
Hey, right on.
So shouts to them. Anyway, I've been debating whether or not to give up on my dreams of being a writer here in Hollywood. I moved down to LA in 2018 to pursue my dream of being a comedy writer. With 2022 coming to an end, it has been a real reality check for me. Being down here for 4 years now, I do not feel much closer to accomplishing my dream. I have had some small opportunities working with a small theater group, and I have even had the chance to work on a commercial, but I haven't had much work lately. I work several jobs to pay the bills, including food delivery service, and work part-time as a server at a fine dining restaurant, but I do not feel satisfied even though I make decent money between the two jobs. The main issue is that it's taking much longer than I thought it would to find opportunities and build a network. I have a couple of friends down here, and I'm starting to really miss living in Chico, where I have a much bigger network and a lot more friends. My lease is finished at the end of March, and I told myself that if I don't land a full-time writing position by then, I would move home, but I worry that I may give up on my dream right before my big break. Should I re-sign my lease and try for one more year, or is it more reasonable to change my plans and move home? If I move home, I feel like I would be a failure, and this move was totally pointless. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Keep pissing people off. I didn't know that we were still pissing people off, aside from them being like, what are these idiots talking about? But that's neither here nor there. So should this person give up on their dreams?
Aaron,
I'm going to be the adult here. Yeah, give it up, dude. Derek and I are from LA. We can just tell you, as normal people who live there, you meet the people who are like, I'm trying to make it big, and all you do is roll your eyes.
Yeah.
I don't think that you should think of it as a failure. You tried. Like, it's really hard to break it in Hollywood. Think of it as an amazing experience you got to have. You stuck it out through COVID, like,
yeah.
That's impressive.
Right.
Very impressive. And there's nothing wrong with being an adult and going, hey, you know what? I'm going to do the smart thing and pivot. If you ask my brother Derek, he hasn't quite reached that yet, but I think we're coming soon to the pivoting to the adult job. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You know, I think I would go the other way. I would say that I understand what you're saying. One, we don't have this person's age. So I think that does play into it. But I think instead of necessarily, I do agree with you on shifting your perspective from failure, because I think if this is something you really enjoy doing, then maybe shift your perspective on what that looks like. Like, yeah, maybe you don't quit your day job and become a full-time comedic writer. But if you enjoy the process, is there other avenues you could go into that can still flex that, like, creativity, right? And you could still use it and maybe get, you get caught on, that catches on somewhere. But I would also want to ask, what are you doing to build a network, right? Like, it sounds like you haven't got many opportunities. I would be curious to know more about, like, what does that look like?
I mean, it is interesting. You're saying a comedy writer. I'm wondering, what is that goes into that? What are you doing exactly to establish that network? Is it something like you go to comedy clubs and, like, meet other comedians? Are you kind of considered a comedian? Do you not like going on stage? I know it's different writing comedy and performing it.
Yeah.
But this, people who perform comedy still write their own comedy. So there is that connection in there. So I would say, I don't know, are you going out in there? Because, you know, as someone who did at a brief little stint in the stand-up comedy world, there are tons of places out there. They have tons of open mics.
Yeah.
You meet tons of people out there. I met many of people out there. I just don't do that anymore. You know, didn't
really
hold on to it, but I did it, you know? So I want to know, like, what is your process? Except maybe that March time is a nice little time to really get your nose to the grindstone and see if you can find something. But I'm with everybody, too. Don't view it as a failure. Every experience is something you learn from, you know?
No doubt.
And learn from it. Hopefully.
When you tried, so above all else, most people will kill your dreams because they are projecting their own fears, right? Like, they'll tell you, you can't make it, but what they're really saying is, I can't make it. I could never do it. It would never happen for me. So I think the fact that you are trying is awesome. So it's not a failure. And yeah, if you feel like you would be overall happier, and that's what is most important to you versus your career, being back in Chico, then yeah, move back to Chico. That's pretty easy.
It's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper, and there are other avenues with social media to get your content out there.
100%. You don't have to be in LA anymore.
That's correct. You know? All right, let's move on because we are running short on time. I think this one is a good one for all of us. It's titled "My Friend Is Too Good at Golf." Hey, boys and Aaron, quick question for y'all. I have a group of six core friends, and every year we do an annual golfing trip. Most of us kind of suck at golf and shoot in the 90s to low hundreds. I think we can relate here. But one of our friends is usually in the 70s. This wouldn't be a problem except for the fact that he is a total golf hardo. He doesn't allow for breakfast balls, for fluffing your shots. He is a play-it-as-it-lies guy, which kind of sucks the fun out of out of playing golf together. When we play, we usually play for around $100 a piece for the round, so it isn't a ton of money, but he takes the game very seriously. We haven't addressed it beyond passing comments like you're being a golf Nazi. So we have a trip coming up in late spring, and we have started a side group chat to discuss how we want to deal with our golf hardo friend. Any advice would be great. Thanks, guys. Again, Aaron, we'll default to you because you're the smartest of us.
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of all just got to override him. You know what I mean? He obviously is desperate for that $100, which is a little bit sad, I think. But yeah, you've all just kind of got to stand firm, I think, and just say, hey, man, you know, everyone gets the mulligan every hole or something like that, if that's what you've got to do to make it fun for all of you. Because, yeah, I mean, it's not fun if it's not fun, you know. So, yeah, I'm sure if he's
good at golf.
That
was so eloquent, Aaron. So, it's not fun. It's not fun. That's so eloquent, Aaron.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. No, 100%. Like, you know, if you need a mulligan every hole to make it a good time, then, like, let that be the deal. I'm sure he plays plenty of other good golf. You know, he doesn't need to play against these guys to feel good about himself.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy. Just let him know, hey, we suck and we don't take this game nearly as serious as you do. So why don't you chill it out and we're going to establish some team golf, right? And then we're going and establish it on the front end. You get one breakfast ball on the front nine, one on the back, or whatever it is, right? Like,
I also got to say right now, I'm going to play slightly your golf Nazis side for a split second. You are playing for money. Now, you can save just $100. When you're playing for money, there's got to be something more in there and just saying, I'm not going to just give you something right now. We're playing for actual money right now. Now, if you don't want to play for money, just have fun. That all, of course, take the money out of it and just we're out here playing and having time with the boys.
Yeah.
We're going to be drinking,
yeah,
doing whatever we have to do, having some shots and whatever. You know, but if you are playing for money, I can understand kind of his point of view. Now, granted, it's not that much, and I'm still with you guys on the 90 to 100 range. I'd rather have fun out there, mm-hmm, not have to worry about the scores I'm putting up because I'm awful. Now, I think you just have to vocalize that. You know, let him know that, what, 6-5 against one?
Right.
You can take him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right. I think that's good enough there.
Yeah.
All right, we have one more question, but we don't have time. We'll get to it next week because I think it'll be funnier next week. Aaron, thanks as always. Appreciate your time.
Talk to you later, guys.
All right, later. All right, sir, North State update. You have that ready to go.
Here
I didn't leave you much time at all. I feel awful about that. And
2 minutes, I can do it.
I can't even find your drop right
now.
We
don't need it.
All right.
Going into the new year, Chico State. Not looking too great for the men's basketball team as they lose to Stanislaus State. It was 65-68. Not the best time to put that in. Just give me one more second, and you'll have an opportunity there. 5-6 overall, 3-3 in conference right now, and right now losing streak. But next game is January 5th against Cal State Dominguez Hills. Same with the women. 5:30 for the women, 7:30 for the men. But women had a little bit more of luck at Stanislaus State, winning 64-62, close game, putting their overall record 8-4 and 4-2 in conference. So great win for them, put them in a good position as the season goes on. Prep basketball is here. Well, it already started a little bit ago, but tournament season is over. We're getting to season. And you know what? All four teams, Chico High girls and boys, PV girls and boys, phenomenal this year. Starting with a Chico High boys team at 11-4. Great start of the season. They'll be playing on Thursday at Shasta. Start time is 4:30. Now going to Pleasant Valley, a 14-3 start to the season. They'll be facing off on Thursday against Red Bluff at home, 7:30 start time. Chico High Panthers girls, 13-2 start to the season. One heck of a start for the ladies. They'll be actually playing one more game, non-league game against West Park at home. Then they'll be playing at home against Shasta at 7:30. Last but not least, Pleasant Valley girls, 14-4 start to the season. They have one more game at Lincoln, a non-league game before they start their season against Foothill Tuesday the 10th. They'll be at home, 7:30 start time. And that is your North State update.
That is efficiency at its finest.
With 6 seconds
That's
left.
The high bar right there, my man.
We actually have a whole minute left. That clock's just a minute fast. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Can I get a grinds my gears off my chest?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people stand at the assisted walking strip in the airport, you know, the ground escalator?
Yeah.
That's not for standing. It's not to take a break. No. It's so you can move faster. It's so you could get to your spot. It's not so you could take a load off.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to disagree with you on that one.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. That's like, dude, if you're at the airport and you're carrying around large luggage, you just want to be taken somewhere. I just want to stand around and just be taken there. I don't want to walk.
Get one of those golf cart thingies then.
You have to... I'm not going
to bring crutches to the airport and scam the system.
I will say, stick to the right. Now, that's all how